I was reading what some what the psalm says and what some others have said about the psalm, and I just sensed in my spirit all week long and that God was just going to do something a bit different than our norm. And you know, the thing that is about God that's so incredible is not that He is just, darling, it's not that He's just a great, mighty, awesome, all-powerful, all-knowing God, but it's that He is that big and that incredible and that powerful, and yet He cares about me. Right? I mean, of all the people in the world, of all of the people and all the tongues and all the tribes and all the nations everywhere, and yet he cares for me. And as I was reading through this psalm, some things jumped out to me, and I just feel like somebody needs to hear them this morning. Let's read these psalms together. Psalm 139. Lord, You have searched me and known me. I love that the word Lord there in that particular verse, the word Lord there, Levon, is the word Yahweh. It is the personal name for God. And it speaks to His personal attributes. Exodus talks about that, His mercy and His patience. His goodness and His unfailing love, His willingness to forgive us and to cleanse us. And I am so glad. Aren't you glad that when God searches me and knows me, that He comes with His goodness and His mercy and His patience and His unfailing love and His grace and His forgiveness? I mean, He could have come as Creator God. Instead, He comes as personal God. And I want you to know this morning, many times when we're in those dark places that we were talking about earlier, doesn't it seem to you many times that you're searching for God and you're looking for God and you're running and searching, and Lord, if You just send me a word or send me a message or send me something, send me a, Lord, let someone say something or let me read something in the Word today. Just it seems like you're searching for God, and yet it says here, the Lord searched me and known me. In fact, this is a searching psalm. It begins with searching and it ends with searching. Look at the very end. Search me, O God, and know my heart. It begins and it ends with searching. I want you to know something this morning. God, you are never at a place. You are never at a place where God's not after you. You are never at a place where God's not searching and He's not looking in and He's coming after you. And there's a lot to be said for seeking God and going after God. And there's a lot to be said for that. But I'm going to tell you, I'm so glad that it wasn't up to me to find God. I'm so glad that it wasn't up to my righteousness or my goodness or who I am. I'm so glad that I didn't have to figure God out, that He came to me. He found me. You search me and You know me, oh God. Then notice what verse 2 says. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You understand my thought from afar. Somebody here this morning has said this week, God, you've said this week, nobody understands. Nobody understands. This psalm says, You understand my thought from afar. Yes. Can I tell you something this morning? There is nothing that's come in your life that God hasn't understood it. There, you may be perplexed, but God is not perplexed. You scrutinize my path and my lying down. And You are intimately acquainted with all my ways. That word, their phrase, is an interesting phrase, because when you say you are intimately acquainted with all my ways, it gives the idea, when we read it in the English, it gives the idea that God knows what we're going through. But in the Hebrew, it actually says more than that. When it says you are intimately acquainted with our ways, in the Hebrew, it actually talks about God's superintending care. See, Tangie, God doesn't just know, God cares. God is superintending that thing. That difficulty, that storm that you may have been, he is superintending. He is overseeing that difficulty, that thing. Maybe it's on the job. Maybe it's in your marriage. Maybe it's in your finances. He is superintending that thing. You are intimately acquainted with all my ways. Even before there is a word on my tongue, behold, Lord, you know it all. You hear what that said? Even before I can express it, even before I can say it, Melissa, even before I can form the words, he knows it all, and he sees it all. Isn't it reassuring to you this morning? I'm telling you, if I'm one of those disciples on that boat in that storm that we were talking about a few moments ago, aren't you glad that even before you cry out, he knows it all? He knows it all. And watch this. And you have enclosed me from behind and before, and you laid your hand upon me. Don't let that verse slip by you. Picture what it's saying there. You've enclosed me from behind and before, and you laid your hand upon me. Do you get the vision or the imagery that David is, or the psalmist is writing about there? Because here's what I do know. I know sometimes Satan comes up from a frontal attack. Sometimes Satan just comes right straight up at you, doesn't he? And sometimes Satan comes with a sneak attack where he tries to sneak up and come up behind you. And other times, doesn't it just seem like the heavens are brass and there's nothing there? But the picture here, the imagery here is the psalmist says, when he tries the sneak attack, Mary, God's got you covered from behind. And when he tries the bold attack, God's got you covered from in front. And when he tries to just overwhelm you, God's got his hand upon you. Has his hand upon you. Somebody needs to hear this and know this. I don't think I'm preaching anything that we don't know, but somebody just needs to know it again this morning. In your spirit, you've begun to just wonder and to question. And wondering and questioning is not a bad thing, but the word has the answers, doesn't it? Closes us behind, and he encloses us before, and he lays our hand upon us. Then notice what it says. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is too high. I cannot attain it. You know what the psalmist is saying there? He's saying, I don't understand it all. I don't understand it all, but I know it. I am so glad, Ron, that I serve a God. I hear people, and some of the people, they want to rationalize, and they would say, I don't understand God, and because I don't understand God, I don't believe God. Listen to me. A God that I can understand with my finite mind is a mighty small God. I serve a God, as the psalmist said, that he is greater than my understanding. His thoughts are higher than my thoughts. He's above what I can understand and grasp. But I know that he is. I know that he is. Look what verse 7 says. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? In the English, it almost makes it sound like he's trying to get out of his presence. That's not what the idea here. The idea here is, God, I've never been anywhere. I've never been anywhere that you weren't there. I've never been through anything that you weren't there. In fact, he delineates it. He named, if I ascend to heaven, you are there. You know what he's saying? Lord, I've had some high points in my life. I've had some mountaintop experiences. Any of you had, you know what I'm talking about? You've had some mountaintop experiences. And I'm telling you, God was there. And you knew he was there. And it was evident that he was there. If I ascend to the heavens, you are there. But it doesn't just stop there. He says, if I make my bed in Sheol, that is the psalmist's way of saying, if I go to the lowest place I could possibly go, behold, you are there. I don't know about you this morning, but I'm glad I serve a God that's present on the mountaintop. But I'm glad I serve a God that I don't know only on the mountaintop. That I don't know only when things are going incredible. I don't know only when things are great. But he is in the lowest parts. That I cannot go to a place that you aren't there. Notice what, if I take the wings of the dawn and if I dwell in the remotest parts of the sea. Anybody ever felt overwhelmed? Like you're just drowning in it? Like you're just drowning in it? That's what he says. In the remotest parts of the... Even there, your hand will lead me and your right hand... By the way, when you see the word right hand, the phrase right hand, especially in the Old Testament, the phrase right hand refers to the hand of the place and the seat of power. Your right hand will lay hold of me. And if I say, surely, the darkness will overwhelm me, and the light around me will be night. Even the darkness, notice what it says, even the darkness is not dark to you. Let me say it, even the darkness is not dark to you. I've been in places, Mike, that were dark. I had minors in my church in Alabama, and they talk about, they said, Pastor, sometimes you want to really see darkness. You ought to come and go down in the mine with us sometime, 2,000 feet down. I said, no, thank you. They said, Pastor, every now and then when we get off down there, the battery won't come on the light just right, just for a moment or something. He said, you've never known dark till you know that darkness. You can feel that darkness. It is just so dark. But I love when I read this Psalms that even the darkness is not dark to him. He says, and the night, listen to this, and the night is as bright as the day. See, you cannot be covered up with darkness that God can't see through. You cannot be overwhelmed with darkness that God can't see, because the darkness and the light are the same to him. In fact, that's what he actually says. He says, darkness and light are alike to you. You understand what that means? God's not afraid of the dark. God's not afraid of the dark. It's all the same to him. I just have a sense that maybe there's somebody here this morning that you've been afraid of the dark. I want you to know it's all the same to him. And he takes you with his right hand and he leads you through it. It says, verse 13. I know this is a bit unconventional. The message that I normally bring, I just felt like the Lord said, just go to the psalm and let my word speak to them. For you formed me in my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. Think about that. You wove me in my mother's womb. You know when I read that, you know what I think of? How many of you ever know what a strand of, you've seen illustrations of a strand of DNA? You know what I'm talking about? A strand of DNA. You know what it looks like? It looks like an elaborate, incredible crochet. Like a master weaver has weaved DNA so that the DNA is exactly where it needs to be, when it needs to be, to produce the result exactly like it wants to be. And when I read this, I get the picture, Mike, that when I was formed in my mother's womb, that the master weaver was weaving the DNA in my life. That, well, you know what that means? That means I am beautifully and wonderfully made. I will give thanks to you, for I am, watch this, fearfully and wonderfully made. In fact, notice what it says. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. You know what this means? This means you are wonderful. You are not secondhand or second class. You are not subpar. You are not an accident. You are beautifully and wonderfully made. You are wonderful. Turn to the person next to you and say, you are wonderful. You are wonderful. In fact, not only that, turn to him and say, I am wonderful. That's okay. That's okay this morning. Why? Because the master weaver weaved you. The master, he crocheted you. He made you exactly like he wants you to be. My frame was not hidden from you. When I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth, your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book all were written the days that were ordained, when as yet there was not one of them. You hear what he's saying there? God knows the details of your life. There's somebody here this morning that you need to know. God knows. God made you, and God knows you, and God is ever present for you. Ever present for you. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would outnumber the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. The psalmist here is telling us that even when I'm not thinking about God, I am on His mind. It means God thinks about me more than I think about Him. Aren't you glad God's thinking about you, Sylvia? When you're not even thinking about Him, you are. God is thinking about you. And I love what it says. And when I awake, I am still with you. It's almost as though the psalmist is surprised by that. But you know what he said? He says, every morning when I wake up, there you are. After all, He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. After all, He is only good and always good. Verse 19 through 22 there almost sounds like it's out of the context. Listen to it. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, men of bloodshed. For they speak against you wickedly, and your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with the uttermost hatred. They have become my enemies. Let me tell you what the psalmist is expressing there. What he's expressing there is a holy outrage at those who would deny God. What he's in the context of this, he's saying is, don't you realize how great God is and how awesome He is and how incredible He is? And even though He's this awesome God, He made me and He knows me and He's present with me. And what He's saying is that I can't hardly stand it when I hear people say that that God is not a God at all. In fact, the psalmist in another place, he put it this way. He says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. That's what he's expressing here. What he's saying is, if you could just get a glimpse, if you could just get a glimpse of my God. And then he closes that psalm with two verses. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way. It's interesting, the word God here is the word El, E-L, capital E, little L. It's the word, it speaks of God's power and His awesomeness. It speaks of Him as Creator God. I love the fact that He begins searching me as Yahweh, the God of love and of mercy and of kindness and of patience. And He finishes searching me as Creator God. You know why? Because He finds things in me and in you and in all of us. He finds things that are, well, quite simply beyond us. It needs to be recreated. It needs to be restored. He needs to do something in our life. And so while He is patient and merciful and long-suffering, He is also the God that is up to the task to make me all that He desires for me. This morning, somebody just needs to hear and just needs to know that God, He made you, He knows you, and He is ever present for you. After all, He is only good. He is only good. Here's what I want us to do. I want us to go back and sing "After All," or not one moment. As we sing that this morning, here's what I want to do. If you need somebody to pray with you, when they begin to sing that, I want you to just stand to your feet and just worship the Lord in it. And if you need somebody to agree with you, maybe this morning, because this was unconventional. I was in the middle of a series, and you know me. When I start a series, it's just not, I like to finish it all the way through. It's my personality. It's who I am. This morning, I just felt like God's saying, this morning, this is what you need to speak. Somebody needs to hear that. And if you're going or facing something, or you're about to embark on something, and you just want somebody to agree with you this morning, when we begin to sing that, and you just need to know, after all, He is only good, and a reassurance of that. If you'll slip down, somebody will meet you here, and we'll just pray with you just for a few moments. And then we're going to transition this service and give you a chance to give offering and so forth. But I want to pray with you first, because after all, He is only good. So as they begin to sing, stand to your feet, and if you desire prayer, just slip down to the front. Somebody will come and meet you this morning.
You were reaching through the storm.
Yes.
Walking on the water.
Thank you for those that are standing. And I bless you this week and pray that God's blessings are on you. Until I see you again, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift His countenance up upon you and give you peace. Go in the blessings of the Lord. God bless you. I love you.